ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்ய யதஹ. சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். ஈக்ஷத்யதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதேனா சப்தம் கௌணச்சேன்னாத்மசப்தாத். தன்னிஷ்டஸ்ய மோக்ஷோபதேசாத். ஹேயத்வ அவசனாச்ச ஸ்வாப்யயாத். கதிசாமான்யாத். ஸ்ருதத்வாச்ச. ஆனந்தமயாதிகரணம் ஆனந்தமயா அப்யாசாத். விகாரசப்தான்னேதி சேன்ன ப்ராச்சுர்யாத். தத்தேது வ்யபதேசாத். மாத்ரா வர்ணிகமேவ ச கீயதே ந இதரஹ அனுபபத்தேஹே. வேதவ்யபதேசாச்ச. காமாச்சன அனுமானாபேக்ஷா. அஸ்மின்னஸ்ய ச தத்யோகம் சாஸ்தி. அந்தரதிகரணம் அந்தஸ்தர்மோபதேசாத். வேதவியபதேசாச்சான்யஹ. ஆகாஷாதிகரணம் ஆகாஷஸ்தல்லிங்காத். பிராணாதிகரணம் அதயேவ பிராணஹ. ஜோதிஷ்சரணாதிகரணம் ஜோதிஷ்சரணாபிதானாத். சந்தோபிதானாத்நீதி சேத் ந ததா சேதோர்பணநிகதாத். ததா ஹி தர்ஷனம் பூதாதி பாத வெபதேசோபபத்தேச்சைவம். உபதேச பேதாத் நேதி சேன் ந உபயஸ்மின் அபி அவிரோதாத். பிரதர்தனாதிகரணம் பிராணஸ்ததானுகம்மாத். ந வக்துஹு ஆத்மோபதேசாதிதி சேத் அத்யாத்ம சம்பந்த பூமா ஹ்யஸ்மின். சாஸ்திரதுஷ்ட்யா து உபதேசோ வாமதேவவத். ஜீவ முக்கிய பிராணலிங்கான்னேதி சேத் ந உபாசா த்ரைவித்யாத் ஆஸ்ரிதத்வாத் இஹ தத்யோகாத். சர்வத்ர பிரசித்யதிகரணம் சர்வத்ர பிரசித்தோபதேசாத். விவக்ஷித குணோபபத்தேஸ்ச அனுபபத்தேஸ்து ந ஷரீரா ஷாரீரஹ. கர்ம கர்த்ருபதேசாச்ச. சப்தவிசேஷாத். ஸ்மிருதேஸ்ச அர்பகௌகஸ்த்வாத் தத்வ்யபதேசாச்சனேதி சேன்ன நிசாயத்யாத் நிசாயத்வாத். ஏவம் வ்யோமவச்ச. சம்போக ப்ராப்திரிதி சேத் ந வைசேஷ்யாத். தாதிகரணம் அத்தாச்சராச்சரக்ரஹணாத். வி ஹவ் பீன் சீயிங் திஸ் 40th சூத்ர ஆர் தி 9th சூத்ர ஆஃப் செகண்ட் பாதா in the sadhikarana attadhikarana. As was said yesterday, this adhikaranam deals with a mantra in Kathopanishad, first chapter, second kanda, 24th mantra, Kathopanishad, the very familiar upanishad. Yasya brahma cha kshatram cha ube bhavata vodanah mrityur yasya upaseshanam kayitha veda yatra saha. This is the mantra. And this mantra talks about Brahman or Paramatma, which is taken for inquiry, vichara here. Yesterday we saw that Brahma is the swallower of time, and only a few people can comprehend what is beyond time. Then Kathopanishad makes another statement as to who can know where the Paramatma is located. This is also a very significant statement. We say Paramatma swallows the world with the help of time. Here Paramatma takes Kala as side dish, and Kala is also swallowed. The universe includes Akasha also, namely space. It is the first product to have been produced. Tasmadva etasmat atmana akasha sambhutaha. This we have seen in Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmavalli. Now imagine a condition when Paramatma swallows the space, where the Paramatma is located. So to locate Paramatma, it requires space. Paramatma has swallowed space and someone asks, where is Paramatma? Intellect cannot answer the question and Paramatma is locationless. That means Paramatma has neither time location nor it has space location. It creates time and space, sustains time and space, and resolves time and space. Who can understand Paramatma as swallower of time and space? Hence, Paramatma is seen as eater of time and space. Here, what is the controversy for this mantra to be included in Brahma Sutra? If it has to find a place in Brahma Sutra, there should be some controversy of some discussion. We said Paramatma is eater of the world along with time and space. Here the Upanishad does not use the word Paramatma and uses a pronoun. Here the word yasya, that word is used. Yasya here means for that or for him. That is used to denote Paramatma. Here we get lot of pronouns to denote Brahman. So how do we know the pronoun represents Brahman or Paramatma alone and no other noun? So the controversy is also compounded here. If Kathopanishad talks about one noun, then we can say it talks about that particular noun. But Kathopanishad talks about different subjects and we should connect the pronoun which talks with the particular topic. And three main topics are there represented by pronouns. One is Agni Devata. This we saw in the last class. One is Agni Devata. Second is Jivatma. And the third topic is Paramatma. Since different nouns are there, the pronouns, so Agni, Jivatma or Paramatma, which it will denote. So when Nachiketas approaches Yamadharmaraja, he asks for three boons. This story we know. So to perform Nachiketa Agni, it's a ritual. One has to chant a specific mantra. So through that ritual, one gains Swargaloka. So Yamadharmaraja teaches this yaga to him. And with the help of this Agni, one can perform a ritual and gain moksha. Then Nachiketa asks the question, what happens to a jiva after death? That is asked in first chapter, first kanda, 20th sloka of Kathopanishad. Yeyam prete vichikitsa manushye astityeke nayamastiti chaike etad vidyam anushishtas tvayaham varanameva vastritiyaha varastritiyaha. Tritiya varaha is that. I want this particular boon, which means there is a doubt. When a person is dead, some people say he exists and some again they say he does not exist. This I want to know. Nachiketas asya madharmaraja. This I want you to teach me. He cannot ask what happens to Paramatma after death. So Yamadharmaraja answers the question later. Then Yamadharmaraja here says, Yoni manye prapadyante shariratvaya dehinaha sthanu manye anusayanti yata karmam yata shrutam. Some souls, they enter the womb to have a body. Others go to the plants just according to their karma and according to their knowledge. Then Nachiketa asks Yamadharmaraja to talk about Paramatma, which is beyond birth and death, beyond punya papas. Jivatma travels, it goes to another body, depending upon punya papa karmas. This all we know. And the third topic here is the Paramatma, and about that also, Nachiketa asks the question. Anyatra dharmatim, anyatra dharmatim, anyatra asmatim, krita kritatim, anyatra bhutacha bhavyacham, yattat pasyati tadvada. That is, Nachiketa asks about what? That which you see as other than virtue and vice. Dharma and adharma is transcribed like this sometimes. Right and unright or wrong. As other than cause and effect. As other than the past and future. Tell me that. That is Nachiketa's question to Yamadharmaraja. Then Yamadharmaraja talks about Paramatma and he says, again, this is the first chapter, second kanda of the 17th mantra in Kathopanishad. Somebody wants to have the reference. So, najayate mriyate va vipaschitim Nayam kutaschin. This is slight variation of this mantra compared to the one that you have in Bhagavad Gita. Najayate mriyate va vipaschit nayam kutaschin na babuva kaschit ajo nityaha shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharir. The second line is same like what is there in Bhagavad Gita. First line only, there is a difference. So the Atma, Paramatma is not born. Najayate mriyate, nor does it die. Did not come from anything. And nothing comes from him. This unborn, eternal, everlasting, ancient, eternal, that Atma is not killed. Hanyate, hanyamane, sharire. Even when the body is destroyed, it stays. So Agni Devata, Paramatma, and Jivatma, all the three are talked about. Now three pronouns are talked about. And Kathopanishad, three pronouns are used and asked who is the eater, whether it is Paramatma or Jivatma or Agni. I'm now trying to present the problem here. This is the doubt. So we should say that the eater referred to by the three pronouns is Paramatma. That is going to be our conclusion. So we have to establish that. Now let us come to the general analysis of the first sutra of the Adhikarana. And the first sutra says that the eater is only Paramatma. That is the conclusion. It is because the food mentioned is not the regular ordinary food. It is the entire cosmos, the entire universe consisting of both movable and immovable, animate and inanimate objects. It is not Jivaha. He cannot eat anything. He may be diabetic. Similarly, Agni Devata also cannot eat anything except that offered in the Yaga. Whatever you offer as an offering in the Yaga, it can consume. Agni can swallow Prithivi and Jala Devatas. It can do. Agni is itself consumed by Vayu. Agni cannot consume Vayu, and on the other hand, Agni gets consumed by Vayu. So here we talk of that which consumes everything, Charachara prapancha, movable objects of everything in the prapancha. This is the general analysis of the first sutra. Now we will see the word for word analysis. And here it has got two words. This sutra has got two words. One is Attha, means the eater. That is mentioned in the first chapter, second kanda, second canto of the 25th mantra of Kathopanishad. Now one may ask the question, the word eater is not mentioned in the mantra. We say the eater is not mentioned directly, but it is mentioned with respect to food. And the eater is implied here. So by implication, the eater is mentioned as Atta in this mantra. Then we have to supply Paramatma Bhavati. Who is Atta eater? Paramatma. So this eater mentioned in the above mantra is Paramatma alone. That is going to be our conclusion. Bhokta is Paramatma. The eater of the universe is Paramatma Bhokta. Now this is the conclusion. So we should give them the logic. And the reason is given is Charachara Grahanat. The sutra says Charachara Grahanat because the movable and the immovable, Chara Achara, the whole universe is taken as his food. Of Paramatma's food. Then how do you say Chara Achara Prapancha is mentioned here? Such a word is not at all there also. So the mantra talks about Brahmana and Kshatriyas. For that our answer is Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are representatives of Chara Achara Prapancha. They are the indicators of the whole universe. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas represent the whole universe. There is some norm where one should take implied meaning and the direct meaning. Here, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are taken as Upalakshana to represent the whole world. Kala, time is taken to consume all of them, which means Vaishyas, Shudras, all of them, they are all included. They are all taken into account. So time is the helper for swallowing the entire prapancha. And this is the word by word meaning of this sutra. Now Shankaracharya, he raises certain further questions. And one Purvapakshi asks, Paramatma is not the eater, but only the Jivatma should be the eater. In Shastra, we often discuss who who is akarta, abhokta, karta, bhokta, all that we discuss in shastras. Invariably in the shastras, Paramatma is asamsari. Only Jivatma is samsari. Paramatma is abhokta and therefore asamsari. Jivatma is presented as karta and bhokta, and so he is samsari. Therefore, Atta should be taken as Jivatma and Paramatma is Abhokta. So we will see the Upanishad support also for this. And Paramatma is not eater and Jivatma alone is eater. Where this is said? In Mundaka Upanishad, it says there is a tree and two birds bound to each other in close friendship. They are perched on the same tree. And one of them eats the fruits of the tree with relish, while the other bird, it just looks on without eating. This is in Mundaka Upanishad. Dva suparna sayuja sakaya samanam vriksham parishasvajate tayor anyaha pippalam swadvatyanne ashnan nanyo abhichaka shiti. Of those two birds, Jivatma bird eats the karma palam. And from Atti, we take the word Atta. Here in the sloka, it is Atti is there in Upanishad. So in this sutra, it is Atta, which means eater. Whereas the other bird, which is Paramatma, it remains as a sakshi, witness. And Jivatma is Atta and Paramatma is not. And therefore, Purvapakshi says, your interpretation is wrong. That is the argument of Purvapakshi. Now, what will be the answer of the Siddhanti? Acharya gives the answer. He says, in the Shastras, the word Atta and Bhokta can refer to either Jivatma or Paramatma depending upon the context. Therefore, do not jump into a conclusion without referencing the context. Context is determined by the object which is eaten. After finding out what is the object of eating, then conclude Jivatma or Paramatma. There are two objects of eating here found in the Shastra. One is Sukha Dukha Anubhava or Karma Phalam is one eating. So eating here means experiencing Sukham Dukha, Karma Phalam. So one experiences Karma Phalam. This is not the whole creation and it is only a particular experience of Sukham Dukham only. And the second object of eating is the whole universe being eaten. That is presented as an object of eating, the whole universe, not Sukham Dukham. It is Sukham Dukham alone. It is not Sukha Dukha Anubhavam. It is seen as the entire universe. So Prapancha Atta means Layakarta, the one who causes lion. So dissolution. So one meaning of Atta is eating and another meaning is resolution or dissolution, lion. So karma palam means experiencing karma by Jivatma and it is a samsari status. Jivatma enjoys karma palam. Attitvam status makes him a samsari and it makes sukha dukha anubhava for the individual. And when you talk about Prapancha Atta, the eater of the Prapancha, the universe, that refers to Layakarta, one who is eating the whole universe at the time of Pralayam. And it refers to Paramatma only, who is Asamsari and Paramatma is Muktaha. So when you say Karmapala Samsari, it is Jivatma. And when you say Prapancha Atta, it is Asamsari Paramatma. So in Kathopanishad, we talk of the whole universe assisted by Kala, the time principle. It refers to Paramatma only. Whereas when you talk of the birds in Mundaka Upanishad, one is said to be the eater, Jivatma, and the witness bird is Paramatma. So Kathopanishad mantra talks of the eater of the universe, the Asamsari Paramatma, and Mundaka mantra talks of the eater of the Karmapala Samsari Jivatma. So the word pippalam, that means karma palam. So in Mundaka Upanishad, palam, Jivatma is talked about. In Kathopanishad, the Prapancha Atta, Paramatma is talked about. And therefore, do not mix up these two mantras. who says, Shankaracharya says this to the Purva Pakshi. And there is an aside point also we can note here. The word karta is also like that. Suppose I ask the question, the word karta refers to jivatma or paramatma. Karta literally means doer, the one who does action, doer. So it can either refer to paramatma or jivatma according to the context. You ask the question, doer of what? That's the question we ask, doer of what? After getting the answer alone, you conclude. If I say punya papa karta means it refers to samsari jiva. Suppose I say srishti sthiti laya karta of whole universe, then it is asamsari paramatma. So what it is macrocosmic karta bhoktam, it is paramatma. And whatever microcosmic karta bhoktam, that is samsari jivatma. So here atta refers to paramatma alone. We are talking about the meaning of the word atta in the sutra. And one more Purvapakshi, he argues that atta can be Agni Devata also. We know Agni is consumer of lot of things, both in the worldly sense and also from the scriptural sense also. Agni receives all the oblations, all the offerings. And Agni is in the stomach as Vaishwanara Agni, Jatara Agni, in the form of Samana Prana. So Purvapakshi says, Agni can also be called Atta, because the second fire, Agni, Nachiketa's fire, he asked, you know, Yamadevada, he taught him, Kam Agninchinute, Nachiketa Magninchin Vanaha, Kam Agninchinute. This mantra occurs in Aruna Prashna. It is the Nachiketa Agni. And not only that, in Veda mantra also, Agni is seen as Annadaha, eater. In Taittiriya Upanishad, in the third canto of Bhrigavalli, it says, Annanna parichakshita tadvratam apova annam jyotirannadam apsujyoti pratishtitam jyotishyapa pratishtitaha tadedadannamanne pratishtitam saya etadannamanne pratishtitam veda pratitishtati annavanannado bhavati mahan bhavati prajaya pashubhir brahma varchasena mahan kirtya. Annam na parichakshita, do not reject food. Tadvratam, it is your duty. Don't do that. What apova annam, water is food. Jyotir annadam, fire is food eater, annadaha. Water is annam food and jyoti, fire is annadaha. So here Agni is said to be the eater. And the same idea also is repeated in Brihadaranyaka also we saw. There also it is said, sa mukha cha yoner hasta bhyam cha agnim asrijata, in that mantra, yeta vadva idagum sarvam annam cha yeva annadaha cha soma yeva annam agnirannadaha. Here also it is said, the whole world is just food, sarvam annam, and eater of food. Soma is food and fire is eater of food. Soma is Chandra Devata. Soma eva annam agnir annadaha. Agni is the eater. So Shankaracharya here does not answer this question of Purvapakshi. Agni Devata, because he says it's not worth answering perhaps. Agni Devata can consume only limited things. Vaishwanara Agni can eat only eatables. Whatever you put in the stomach, only it can consume. Even in Pralaya Kala, Agni can consume only Jalam and Prithivi. Prithivi Tattvam, only these two principles only Agni can consume. It cannot eat others like Akasha, Vayu and all, it cannot. So if Agni is Atta, but it is not Sarva Atta. Therefore, it has to be Paramatma only and not Agni Devata also. We'll go to the next sutra, sutra number 10 of the Sadhikaranam, 41 of Brahma Sutra. Prakaranacham. So first we will see the general analysis of the sutra. Vyasacharya says, the context reveals Paramatma is the eater of the whole prapancha. So if you see the place of the mantra, in Kathopanishad, first chapter, second canto, mantra number 25, it is not Jivatma context. Jivatma, Jivatma is not talked about. It is actually going to be talked about later in Kathopanishad. So there is a special area where Jivatma is talked of. Even Agni Devata is not there. So Agni Devata talk is over. And the second boom of Nachiketas, the Agni Devata. So this mantra comes with that of the third boon of Nachiketas granted by Yamadharmaraja. And this shloka comes immediately after Nachiketas asks a question. And the question is asked in the 14th mantra of the second canto, first chapter. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat, anyatra asmat krita kritat, anyatra bhuta cha bhavyacham, yattat pasyati tadvadam. So this question is quoted more often than the answer itself. It is beyond dharma and adharma, anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. This is quoted to negate the idea given by Visishtadvaitin factually. People quote use this mantra. For them, God is nirguna. God is nirguna. Only in the sense, God is free from bad gunas. When they say God is nirguna, is God is bad from bad, God is free from bad gunas. Whereas Advaitin say, God is free from good and bad gunas. This is crucial difference between Visishtadvaitam and Advaitam. Brahma is beyond dharma and adharma. Kalyana and Akalyana, good and bad, all the cause and effects are beyond. So we talk about that one, that Paramatma. So the question is about Jivatma or Paramatma, and it is certainly about Paramatma only and not about Jivatma at all. So Dharma, Adharma, Atitaha should be Paramatma only, who is beyond Dharma and Adharma. And Jivatma has got Dharma and Adharma. In fact, Jivatma is Jivatma because he is in the grip of Dharma Dharma. Answer should be Paramatma only. So Yama's answer, it begins from shloka number 18 of the second canto of the first chapter and 19, both the shlokas and in Kathopanishad. And he says, na jayate mriyate va vipaschit nayam kutaschit na bhubuva kaschit ajo nityaha shastutoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. The one which I read is earlier. So all these mantras talk about Paramatma only. Whereas we know Jivatma is subject to birth, death, cycle. While dealing with Paramatma, we get in that prakaranam which begins with this mantra of Kathopanishad. So the question is about Paramatma, and the answer is also about Paramatma only, and therefore the concluding mantra also should talk about Paramatma only. And therefore the eater talked about is not Jivatma, and it is Paramatma because of the context which is determined by the question and the answer. Now this is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us go for the word analysis. It contains two words. Prakaranat, from the context of, or because of the context. The Paramatma is the context. And there is this cha. Cha means also and. So why also is added? Because in the previous sutra, one reason is given, and it is the second reason, and so it is said second reason also. And Vyasacharya gives two reasons, and Shankaracharya gives a third reason also. Again, you have to go back to the 25th mantra with which we started. Yasya brahmacham kshatrancham ube bhavata vodanaha mrityur yasya upasechanam kaitta veda yatrasaha. This is what we started. So the eater is talked about here, whether it is Jivatma or Paramatma was the question. Who can know the eater? And the second question is, can we know where the eater is, the location of the eater? Here, even though Upanishad asks the question, actually, it is not a question. And here, who can know? That means majority cannot know. Who can know? If you ask, who will know? Majority cannot know. But a very, very few people can know the eater. And the eater is comprehensible matter that is not talked about here. The eater, as the comprehensible is not talked about here, the eater does not have any location. Because eater is not in space, and space itself is in the eater. Acharya argues, if eater is Jivatma, such a question will not come at all. because Jivatma is never an incomprehensible person. And we know Jivatma is as samsari. So if the ether is Jivatma, it can be easily known to anyone. But if it is known, easily known, Upanishads would not have said, who can understand the ether? It will never say. It talks about incomprehensible Paramatma, the ether. Similarly, the location is also regarding Jivatma's location. No doubt about it at all. Jivatma's location is not a mystery. The Smriti talks of the mystery, and hence it talks about incomprehensible ether, not a well-known ether like any Jivatma. And incomprehensible ether can be Paramatma only and not Jivatma. So in all the discussions, we talk about Jivatma and Paramatma, and all the time differentiating Jivatma and Paramatma. And one may have a doubt whether you have any difference about Jivatma and Paramatma at all. So actually avoiding confusion is not clear knowledge. If you want to avoid a confusion, a lot of people, if there's a confusion, they would like to avoid it. That is not clear knowledge. If Brahma Sutra can create confusion, then it can raise the confusion and remove the confusion also. Therefore, here we do talk about Jivatma, Paramatma, Veda, difference between them. And what we say is, Ajnana Kale, at the time of ignorance, we talk of Veda from Vyavaharika angle. And when we gain Jnanam, we talk of Abheda from Paramarthika angle. This all we have seen earlier. Therefore, when we talk about Jivatma, we talk of Vyavaharika Ajnana Avastha. So with this, the Attadhikaranam is over now. Now the conclusion is what? So we have to again see the sloka and then fit it, the conclusion in that. Vishayo vishayas chaivam purvapakshastatottaram sangatis chaiva panjangam shastredhikaranam smritam. This I have been reciting all the time. So the subject matter, vishayaha, so the eater, that is mentioned in Kathopanishad, mantra 25, second canto, first chapter. That is Paramatma. And what is our doubt? Samshaya? Whether what is mentioned here is the eater, is it Jivatma or Paramatma, is the confusion, the doubt. It is because Upanishad does not use the word Jivatma or Paramatma explicitly. And what is the view of the Purvapakshi? He says, Atta is Jivatma. The reason is, Atta is Bhokta, Bhokta is Samsari, Samsari is Jivatma, and Mundaka Mantra supports this fact. We saw the Mundaka quotation also. So Jivatma is Atta, the Upanishad says. So Jivatma bird eats and Paramatma bird doesn't. So our answer is Atta is Paramatma only. The reason is we talk about the eater of not karma palam, but we talk of the eater of the entire Srishti Sthiti Laya. And it is Paramatma only. And because of this eating, Paramatma does not become samsari. So eater of karma palam becomes a samsari. And eater of the entire Srishti Sthiti Laya, Kalayakarta, the universe, he is a samsari. Eater of the universe is a samsari. And Sangati, he is another factor also. As I told, it's very technical. Normally, we are not mentioning Sangati here. We only need to know that this Adhikaranam is placed in the right place and in the right context. That's all we need to know. We don't have to technically define that entire thing. Then the next topic 3. This is called Guha Pravishtadhikaranam, and it has 2 slokas, 11 and 12. The sutra is Guham Pravishtavatmanohi Taddarshanath. Guham Pravishtavatmanohi Taddarshanath. So we have completed the 10th sutra of the second pada, and the next sutra is number 11 that we are seeing now. And this happens to be the third Adhikaranam, third topic in this pada. And this is a small Adhikaranam consisting of only 2 sutras, and it is known as Guha Pravishtadhikaranam. First, we will do the general analysis as usual of the entire Adhikaranam, and then we will do the analysis of the sutra. And this Adhikaranam analysis, it analyzes a mantra in again Kathopanishad. In the third chapter, in the third section of the first chapter, mantra 1. Ritam pibantau sukritasya loke గుహాం ప్రవిష్టౌ పరమే పరార్ధే ఛాయా తపౌ బ్రహ్మ విదో వదంతి పంచాగ్నయో ఏచ త్రినాచికేతాః. సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ అధికరణం వి అనలైజ్ ఏ కఠోపనిషత్ మంత్ర, ద 25th మంత్ర ఆఫ్ ద సెకండ్ సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్, అండ్ ది నెక్స్ట్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ ది నెక్స్ట్ చాప్టర్ ఈ నెక్స్ట్ సెక్షన్ ఈస్ దిస్ మంత్ర దట్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ అధికరణం దట్ ఈ జస్ట్ రైట్. Well, let us see the general analysis, general meaning of this particular thing in detail, because it's a very important mantra. So we will see some details here. This mantra says, Jivatma and Paramatma as residing in the heart of all beings. Guham pravishtav parame parardhe. Jivatma and Paramatma, pravishtav dual. Jivatma and Paramatma have entered the Hridayam, the heart, and they reside in the heart. They are located in the sacred place within the heart. The whole physical body is compared to the temple, and the heart is called the Sanctum Sanctorum. And it is said in the first line that they enjoy the Karma Palam, which is in the form of Sukha Dukkha Rupam. In the form of sukham and dukkha. Here loke means sharire, in the physical body. So this jivatma and paramatma experiencing the karma phala. So in our language, jivatma can be understood as pratibimba chaitanyam, and paramatma can be understood as bimba chaitanyam. And the nature of the two is what? They are totally different and are diagonally opposite nature, like light and shadow. One is light, another is like darkness. So Brahma Vido Vadanti, those who deal with Jnana Kanda, Brahma Vid, they talk about these two, and even rituals, they talk about these two, Jivatma and Paramatma. Both Karma Kandi people and Jnana Kanda people, they talk about the heart where Jivatma and Paramatma, they reside. So this mantra of Kathopanishad, this is too close to the bird example of Mundaka Upanishad. We just saw Dvasuparno Sayujasakaya, that mantra. So the body is compared actually to the tree, and heart to a branch. And on that branch, the Jivatma and Paramatma birds are seated. Here, what is the controversy? There is some doubt in the mantra, which is to be resolved in this sutra. That is how that sutra is placed. In this entire mantra, the word Jivatma or Paramatma is not at all used. We only come to know there are two entities in the heart. There are two entities in the heart. The two things are experiencing the karma phala. They are comparable to shade and light. That's what it says. Chayatapaha. That indicates there are two things, and the mantra points out two things, but does not say what those two things are. Now we will establish what they are. We will establish that they are Jivatma and Paramatma because the Sankhya philosophers, we have to bring in Sankhyas everywhere. The Sankhya philosophers do not accept Paramatma separate from Jivatma. We say that there is Paramatma separate from Jivatma. And how do we say Vedantin accept Paramatma separate from Jivatma? From Vyavaharika Drishti, we accept Paramatma and Jivatma. Sankhyas do not do so. And the main advantage is what? Accept Jivatma and Paramatma from Vyavaharika angle, but from absolute angle, Jivatma and Paramatma, one and the same. Now we will do the general analysis of the first sutra, this Adhikaranamna. So the first one can be interpreted in two ways. And Shankaracharya does not clearly present the two interpretations. And in this interpretation, we will say that two experiencers of karma phalam located in the heart are Jivatma and Paramatma and nothing else. So the reason for this conclusion is that it is clearly stated elsewhere. And the rule is, a vague mantra should be understood with a clear mantra outside. That we have already seen. When there is a vagueness, we use some other mantra from the Upanishads to corroborate that. So here we have a conclusion that the entities mentioned are Jivatma and Paramatma, and we see a parallel idea elsewhere. The two birds mantra of Mundaka Upanishad that we saw earlier. This is hinted by Shankaracharya in his Bhashya. So this is the general analysis of the first interpretation. That is, Jivatma and Paramatma both are there. Now we'll see the word analysis here. Guham. Guham means in the cavity of the physical heart. It is only physical heart. In the cavity of the physical heart, the mind is located in the heart. And we say, he does the work wholeheartedly. For example, we refer to some person, we say, he does the work wholeheartedly. The invisible mind, which is located in the physical heart, that alone is meant. We talk of that mind and heart, the physical heart. Pravishta means located. So literally it means entered, but Pravishta here means located. And this is the Paksha. Now two things have entered. Those two entries are Jivatma and Paramatma. That is our conclusion. He, the term he means indeed. So because, and it is Jivatma and Paramatma only and nothing else. And the next word is what? Tad Darshanat. Tad means this idea. The idea that the two entities are located in the heart. They are Jivatma and Paramatma, that idea. Darshanat. This is clearly mentioned elsewhere. Elsewhere where? In the Mundaka Upanishad mantra that we just saw. And this is the first interpretation. And the second interpretation is, that is clearly given by Shankaracharya. We will see a general analysis of the second interpretation. Here Shankaracharya shows, actually in the Bhashya he writes all this in great detail. The Shankaracharya shows that those two entities are Chetana Tattva, the sentient beings. He does not say Jivatma and Paramatma. He says they are sentient. And once you know they are sentient, then it can be established that they are Jivatma and Paramatma only. There is one Paramatma, and within the heart, there is only one Jivatma. And therefore, once you say there are two sentient ones, we know they are Jivatma and Paramatma. Paramatma is everywhere inside the heart also. Jivatma is only in the heart. Now the question is, how do you prove that they are two sentient ones? Tad Darshanat. They are two sentient things. In the heart, Jivatma is there. That is acceptable by all philosophers. There is no controversy in that at all. The controversy is whether Paramatma is there or not. So the location of Paramatma, that is the controversy here. It is because the Sankhya philosopher does not accept Paramatma at all, let alone accepting the location of Paramatma in the heart. So who is the second one other than Paramatma is the controversy. So the usage of dual number, as I mentioned earlier, Privishtav, supports my case. That's what Acharya says. When you give a number to a thing, the rule is what? The objects referred to will belong to the same class of things or objects or beings. For example, somebody has brought up a cup of coffee. Then I say, bring another one. That means the second one is coffee only and nothing else. Suppose people get into a vehicle and someone says, one more comes. It is not one more vehicle comes, one other person is coming to the vehicle. They talk about various devatas and the fifth one means fifth devata only. So when we count the people and say 150, that means all are people only. We don't count all other species in that count of 150. Here we talk about two entities. One of them is Chetana Vastu, Jivaha. And the second one referred to dual number. The other sentient one, it should be, has to be Paramatma only. So the reasoning is what? Tad Darshanat. Previously we said Tad Darshanat stated elsewhere. Now we say the well-known rule as above. So here the dual number is present and the same species is Chetana one, sentient one. So this is the general analysis or the second interpretation by Shankaracharya. Now we will see the word analysis. Guham. Guham means physical heart here. Pravishta, located in the physical heart, located. We have to apply Jivatma, Paramatma now. So that we have to put. So that means Jivatma and Paramatma only, they are located in the heart. So these two located in heart are Jivatma and Paramatma. Then we have to give the reason. Atmanav hi. Here in the second interpretation, Atmanav means Chetanav. Both are sentient, Chetanav, because both are sentient. That is proved by the next word, Tadarshanat. It is the reason to prove that the two entities are sentient entities. Tad means the general rule. Wherever numbers are used, the numbered things belong to the same species. One is Jivatma, another is Paramatma. Darshanat means well-known rule. So with this, the first sutra interpretation is over. Now we will enter to the Purvapakshi, what he says. He does not allow us to conclude anything as usual. What we have seen is our conclusion. That is the two entities in the heart are Jivatma and Paramatma. And the first statement says what? You are wrong. First statement, he says, Purvapakshi says, you are wrong. It's like some people, whatever you say to them, first they will say, adilla, eh, no, that's not that. Immediately they don't even know that they are contradicting. They habitually they say that. So this Purvapakshi is also like that. He says that you are wrong. He says the two entities located in the heart are Jivatma and Antakaranam, inner equipment. He says one is Jivatma and the other is mind and not Paramatma. If you take it as Paramatma, there will be so many logical problems according to him. They are not there if you take Jivatma and intellect, mind, whatever it is. The problem one is what? The mantra says two experiencers of Karmapalam. And if you take Jivatma and Paramatma, the problem will be Jivatma is Bhokta and Paramatma also becomes Bhokta, which is not acceptable to you. Who says? Purvapakshi says to Vedanti. Paramatma is not Bhokta, but Abhokta, non-experiencer according to you. And the second defect will be Paramatma cannot be located in the heart because you say Paramatma is all-pervading. And how can it be located within the heart? And the third defect is the word chaya tapaha. That means like light and shadow. Chaya is shadow, light tapaha. And they are diagonally opposite. And in the Advaitic interpretation, Jivatma and Paramatma are not opposites. With both of them being Chetanavastus, they are not diagonally opposite. So according to me, the Purvapakshi, they are Buddhi and Jivatma only. Buddhi is Achetanam and Jivatma is Chetanam. So according to you, both of them are Chetanam. So one is Pratibimba Chaitanyam, other is Bimba Chaitanyam according to you. So Purvapakshi says, Chetana and Achetana, shadow and light. Chetanam is light, Chetana, Achetanam is the shadow. They will fit perfectly according to Sankhya interpretation. So they say they are not Jivatma and Paramatma. He justifies his view. He says all the three defects mentioned in the Advaitic interpretation are not there in Sankhya interpretation. First dosha is what? Paramatma is not experiencer. And in my interpretation, both Jivatma and Buddhi are experiencers because both of them are Savikaraha. In Advaitam, this defect is not there. And the second defect is Guham Pravishtav. In Advaitic interpretation, Paramatma cannot be located in heart. Paramatma is big. Heart is very small. And in our interpretation, both mind and Jivatma are small and can be comfortably located in the heart. And the third interpretation is shadow and light. The mind is Achetanam and the Jivatma is Chetanam. And they are like light and shadow. Because of these three defects, your interpretation that Jivatma and Paramatma are located in the heart is wrong. Our interpretation only is right. This is the argument of Purvapakshi. Now we have to prove all these objections are wrong. They are not there. And also to establish that all the defects are there in their matam also. Now let us see one by one. First defect is what? Jivatma and Paramatma are not experiencers. Jivatma is experiencer and Paramatma is not experiencer. Advaitic answer is Purvapakshi's statement is true. But still, because of the presence of Paramatma alone, because of the grace of Paramatma alone, Jivatma is able to experience. Jivatma is Pratibimba and Paramatma is Bimba Chaitanyam. The very existence of Chidabhasa is because of Chit. And therefore, we say Paramatma makes Jivatma a Bhokta by sheer presence. Paramatma makes Jivatma a Bhokta, and since he makes Jivatma a Bhokta, we can figuratively say Paramatma is also Bhokta, figuratively. Further, we give an example. We say, for example, I have cooked the food today. Then I ask the question, did you cook the food? Or the fire cooked the food? Cooking is a process that takes place because of fire. No, you are the one who created the fire to cook the food. You do not cook the food and you cause the fire to cook the food. You are responsible for the fire to cook the food. In the same way, Paramatma is indirectly a Bhokta and figuratively Paramatma is Bhokta. Since Paramatma makes the Jivatma to experience things, Paramatma is Bhokta. So if you want any supporting scriptural statement for this, Acharya gives in Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, Upadrashtanumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwaraha paramatmeti chapyuktaha dehesmin purushaparaha. In the Gita, no distinction is made between the knower of the field and the Supreme Lord. Paramatma is bhoktu bhokta like shrotrasya shrotra. So the first charge is that is now discounted. Then comes the second charge by the Purvapakshi. How can you say that Paramatma is located in the heart? Whenever we say Paramatma is in the heart, you have to put an additional word that Paramatma is in the heart also. The all-pervading Paramatma is in the heart also. It's an absurd question. All-pervading Paramatma is everywhere, means Paramatma is in the heart also. Why you specifically say it is in the heart? Although Paramatma is everywhere, the consciousness cannot be experienced outside. For me, consciousness is available only in my body and in my mind as the witness of every thought, every condition, every emotion. So it is witnessed by the all-pervading consciousness. It is everywhere, but appreciated in the heart. And it is like the God in a temple. God is all pervading. But in the temple, God is available for our worship. The consciousness is manifest in the heart. It is not a place of location. It is a place of manifestation. In many Upanishads, Brahman is presented as Guhahitam. And the next is shadow and the light. If Jivatma and Paramatma are taken, they are diagonally opposite. That's what they said. They are diagonally opposite from the angle of samsari and asamsari. One is parichinna, limited. Another is aparichinna. Jivatma and Paramatma are diagonally opposite, not in the form of chetana achetana rupena. One is samsari, another is asamsari. Why not take it as chetana chetana rupena? The experiences of karma phalam, the Upanishad have already indicated that both are chetanam. The experiences of karma phalam, both are chetanam. Both belong to the same species. Light and shadow fits in, even though they are light and shadow, because one is samsari, another is asamsari. And the third defect is also not there. The next job is what? In your interpretation, you have the problem. Your first and the third points are both contradictory. Whose first and third point? Purvapakshi's. First and the third points are contradictory. First, we have to take Buddhi and Jivatma as two experiences according to them. Therefore, my interpretation is better. That's what you said, Purvapakshi said. And in the third point, you said yourself, Buddhi and Jivatma are totally opposite, like light and shadow. Because Buddhi is achetanam and Jivatma is chetanam. So if you say Buddhi is achetanam, how can you say achetana Buddhi and the Jivatma are two experiences in the first case? You say Paramatma is non-experiencer, and to solve the problem, you replace Paramatma by Buddhi. That's what you said, an Achetana Vastu. So when you replace by Achetana Buddhi, a non-experiencer, how can you say that Achetana Buddhi and Chetana Atma are the two experiencers? Then suppose you argue that Achetana Buddhi is figurative experiencer. Then I have also told you my answer. Paramatma also is figurative experiencer. So you are also saying Achetana Buddhi is figurative. I am also saying Paramatma is figurative. In what way? Your interpretation is superior. Thus, you contradict your own first and the third statements. You hold on to the second point. Other than that, all the points are wrong. Therefore, my interpretation that Jivatma and Paramatma are the two experiences in the heart, that is correct. That is how Acharya establishes. And if I take the next sutra, it may take some time, but still I can introduce that sutra. Sutra 12. Visheshanacha, 43rd sutra, Brahma Sutra. First, as usual, we'll do general analysis. So through this sutra, Vyasacharya points out that Upanishad itself, by a later mantra, it sorts out the confusion with the first mantra. So if you read the later mantra, you would have already sorted the problem. So it specifically refers to two experiences mentioned in the first mantra. Where? All in Kathopanishad. we should know where the context is. So for that, you remember the third mantra of the third section of the first chapter of Kathopanishad. The very famous chariot example. Atmanam ratinam vitti viddhi shariram ratam evatu buddhim tusaratim viddhi manapragraham evacham. So in the earlier mantra, the experiences are not specified, but in the entire third section, the experiences are very specific. Here, Jivatma is presented as a traveler and Paramatma as the destination. This we see in the mantra number 9, of third section of the first chapter, of the same Kathopanishad. Vijnana saratir yastu manapragraha vannaraham. Sodhvana paramapnoti tadvishno paramampadam. Jivatma is the traveler. Body is the carrier. Buddhi is the driver. Jivatma is seated in back seat. And the destination is Paramatma. Then the Upanishad points out where the Paramatma is located. In which direction one should travel can be known only when you know where Paramatma is there. Because that's the destination. Towards that destination you should go. So here it is not the outside journey, but it is the inside journey, inward journey. So this we see in mantras 10 and 11 of the same Kathopanishad third section. So there it says, Indriyebhya para hyartham artebhyascha param manaha manasastu para buddhihi buddheratma mahan paraha mahata paramavyaktam avyaktat purusha paraha Purusha anna param kinchit sakashta sa paragatihi. So in these two mantras, Kathopanishad presents pancha kosha vivekaha. It is repeated in another Kathopanishad mantra also later in the third section, eighth mantra, second chapter. Avyakta atupara purushaha vyapako linga evacham yanyatvam mrityute muchyate jantuhu amritatvam cha gachati. So Kathopanishad says that Paramatma is within you, the destination, and Jivatma, the traveler, is also within you. The real experiencer, Jivatma, is within, and Paramatma, the destination, is figuratively an experiencer, is also within. So Pramata is the traveler, and the Apramata, Paramatma, is the destination. So the small I, the crooked I, is the traveler. And the big guy is the destination Paramatma. So Sopadika is traveler Jivatma and Nirupadika is destination Paramatma. And both of them are within. Therefore, Guham Pravishtaha is not only Jivatma, but also Paramatma is there. So Upanishad itself specifies Jivatma traveler and Paramatma destination. This is the general analysis. Now the word analysis, Visheshanat means on account of distinctive qualities, Visheshas. Because of the specific reference of Jivatma and Paramatma, and that too as traveler and destination, the conclusion is what? Jivatma, Paramatma, Guha Pravishtatva Evam, with specific reference given in Kathopanishad itself, the reference is Jivatma and Paramatma only, and not Jivatma and Buddhi. This is the meaning of Visheshanat. And then Cha. Cha means and, because of the reason also. With the word analysis of the second sutra is given like this. Now Sankaracharya is going to introduce another Purva Pakshi here, which we will see next week. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakutinasya Parasa Maheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti.